That was the railroad blues that the colored boy was playing when I walked past the barbershop door. It was on a warm summer's day, and he's laying up there barefooted, and I just had my shoes off for a couple of months and just about tough enough then, you know, to where I could run through cuckleburrs and broke bottles and wade through the liquor bottles up and down the back alleys in town there after whiskey got to be pretty popular. And I says, boy, I said, that's undoubtedly the lonesomest piece of music that I ever run on to in my life. Where in the world did you learn it? Oh, he said, I just lay here and listen to the railroad whistle. And he said, what if it say I say too? Of course, he was big enough then, and he had rode him a lot in his life. And one time or the other, then I'd come back. I had to go by this place on my way to play hooky from school every day. So I says, I wish you'd play me that piece again. So about every day, he'd play me the same piece over and over and over. He had a whole bunch of them that he had made up, but he just improvised them as he went along, and he never did play the same piece, no 2 days alike, and he called them all the railroad blues. But then I'm starting to tell you about the common everyday feeling down in that country, you know, is that for some strange reason, there's some people born a little bit better than others, and some are supposed to work pretty hard, and others are supposed to sort of coast through life somewhere or other. But then, I don't know, I'd never hardly pass either an Indian or a colored boy, because I'm telling you the truth, I learned to like them, especially since I've been hoboing, freight training, too.
What did you young fellas do there in Okemo to have a good time? How did you amuse yourselves when you play hooky from school?
Well, we'd go fishing, go swimming, stay out in the hills and hollers all day, and we'd make slingshots, and we'd go down out on the sides of the hills and pick up some good round rocks about the size of a walnut, and then we'd proceed to have a fight. And several of us almost got our heads knocked off with them. We'd fight with bow and arrows, shot each other with everything except Winchester rifles. I don't see yet how we got to be as old as we did.
After you got out of knee pants, after you got out of the age when you were having rock fights, what's the next thing this gang of boys did? How many of you were there anyway? And
well, it's
about
13 in the whole bunch that I played with. We called them our gang. We elected our own sheriff and deputy sheriff and all that, and then we elected our own president and the rest of us, you know. We'd be the outlaws. Sheriff had to have somebody to throw in jail. We had a nice little jail built out of a piano box and a whole bunch of bed crates. Bed slats, you know, and they nailed them across the piano box, and that was our jail. But anyway, we made our own beverages, you know, just like they do in some of the church, monasteries. We got to be sort of experts at making home brew. I remember one of the first batches we made. We heard the directions was to get one cake of yeast and let it ferment 3 days. But we figured it out that if we'd use 3 cakes of yeast, keep a good hot fire by it, that it'd ferment in 1 day. So we got 5 gallons of water, and we got some malt and hops and poured in it. We throwed in 3 cakes of yeast, and we all carried wood all day long. Went over to an old house and, like, tore the whole house down, hauling wood to keep her fire going to boil her home brew off. Anyway, before night, it's just a foaming and a jumping like a whole pond full of frogs. And so it's boiling out the bunghole. Anyway, we thought, well, boy, if there was any home brew in the world, this is it. So we jugged it up. We put it up in some half-gallon fruit jars and backed it up on the school ground. After night, about midnight, we all proceeded then to see what our brew had turned out to be. We all got sick on it, like died. A bunch of us did.
How old were you then?
I was about 15, 16.
Were you going around to dances? Were you going to see girls at that age?
No, you know, that was just beginning to break on me. I don't know the rest of the boys, we was all kind of eyeing the gals up and down, but then we didn't know sure about that dancing business. We didn't start till about 2 or 3 years later, but then I went out on a farm there about 17 miles north of town and stayed out there for a long time with a family of people, and that's where I first got acquainted with square dances. They always had their fiddle and their old guitar, and everybody from all over the whole countryside had come, and they called them ice cream freezings or house parties, or they'd all come out there, and usually the boys would come in, tie all their horses up to the hitching post outside, and then come in, and usually before a square dance was complete, why, there'd be anywhere from 2 gang fights on up in about 15 or 20 good, fast singles, just fist fights, you know.
Well, did the boys do a lot of drinking? Was that one reason that they got a little tough with each other sometimes? Have a drink and tell us about it, would you?
Down in that country, we had prohibition in them days. So there was lots of moonshine whiskey, and there's lots of bootleg liquor stills around all over the whole country, and pretty near every family made their own rye whiskey, you know. Here's an old whiskey song they used to sing in pretty near all the dances, or you could start singing it and everybody'd join in with you.